Welcome to the Love Story Podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Green, where we are capturing the magic of every love story.
What you're about to hear is part two of the Joe Hanning story. So if you're just tuning in for the first time, go back and listen to episode one of theirs last week to get the rest of the story this week. Now tell me about this baby, this cute, cute baby that you have. How long did we, from marriage to baby in the baby carriage?
We waited a bit. We did. We waited like a year or two, I would say.
We've just always wanted to be...
We waited like a year before we even thought of, like, even trying. Like, mm-hmm. we're going to take our time. We're going to... Mm-hmm.
We've always wanted to be, like, so financially... Yeah. Not set, but in good health. And so it was a matter of, like, all right, we're going to do this to the house, and then we're going to put some money in a pile, mm-hmm. and then we'll have a kid. And that's kind of the timing, really.
We didn't actually have a wedding. We were getting married... We got married January 16th. He knows that day. I know the other
yes,
day.
Yes, yeah.
January 16th of 2021. Well, that unfortunately was the weekend that everything shut down again.
Yep.
And so weeks before that, or like months before that, we knew things were starting to kind of ramp up again with COVID. And so we were like, we had a deep talk about like, do we cancel it? Do we just try to go through with it? Do we do something different? Because
our vendor was like, you can't.
Like,
do it.
They're like, mm-hmm. we're closing up shop right now.
We put in a bunch of money down on stuff,
too. We put down payments on a lot of stuff.
I got lucky to get a lot of it back.
We got everything back.
We got everything back.
That's
awesome.
And so we ended up remodeling our kitchen, which was awesome. Mm-hmm. But we ended up just doing, well, and then early on that week before we got married, I started getting sick. And we planned like a little like get together kind of at his parents' house just to kind of still do something because we were missing out on the full wedding mm-hmm. thing. I had my dress. All my bridesmaids were picked. Aww. They had all their dresses. They had their suits.
Yeah, like, we had
all of our decorations. Everything was ready. And so we still wanted to do something like something little that mm-hmm. we could still celebrate because we were like, we're still going to get married. We're not going to not get married.
Right.
I thought I had COVID. Just had a sinus infection, thankfully.
Oh, good.
And so, yeah, that Saturday, we had a bunch of family over at his parents, my family.
And then my buddy's brother is like an officiant.
Okay.
And he was going to do the wedding originally. And then instead, I was just like, can you just drive over? Because, you know, really, you just need a signature.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, Tina signed, I signed. He signed, and then your two witnesses signed.
Yeah,
witnesses. And we just did that right on the mom's island.
Yeah, our first kiss was right by the kitchen island.
Yep.
Yeah,
so romantic. It's a very COVID wedding.
For sure,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, and like, I had my moments. I mean, he's not really, he don't care too much about a wedding. Mm-hmm. But like, I had my moments of like, I don't get that moment.
Right.
That wedding, like the dress and like all that
the
kind of stuff.
When you think about, you know...
Right.
Yeah.
Because, like, he's got a big family, and we've been to many weddings, and I was like, they get all these memories of this wedding. And I was like, mm-hmm. but you know what? These memories that we did have, we still get to talk about. And, like, it's kind of cool to say, like, hey, we had a wedding during COVID.
Yeah.
Like, that was a big time in history. And so, like, just the... And we kind of are people that, like, we just don't want to stop our lives for stuff.
Yeah.
And so we talked about maybe like, oh, a 5-year party or something mm-hmm. or like a 10-year. And it was more just kind of just tell people to just chill because they're like, well, when are you actually going to do it?
Right.
Well, maybe in 5 years.
Yeah, we'll have a party later.
Yeah, it ain't happening anymore. So sorry to break it to whoever's listening. It ain't happening. I still do have my dress. I don't even think you have your suit anymore.
No, I still have
do
it.
Do you?
Yeah, I still got it.
I don't want to get rid of it because for like our future kids, if they want to do something with it, I mean, I never got to wear it, but I still have it.
Yeah.
Because there is still a chance that we could do something, but.
Second marriage.
Hold on. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. No, I definitely wish we had a wedding. Like, I'm not against the whole wedding experience, but the amount of money you have to pay to get married is insane.
And we were doing it cheap.
And we were already doing a fairly cheap wedding, and it's still just a massive number.
Oh, it's crazy.
And then you see what you could do with that money.
Yes.
And you're like, I don't know. I'm not that unhappy.
Right.
You know, this worked pretty good.
Yeah, after I got my brand new kitchen, I wasn't too mad.
Yes, exactly. A kitchen.
Which then is helping us now because we sold our house 2 months ago.
Yeah.
We plan on living in, you know, we have a new house that we're going to be moving into here real soon. So, yeah, it all worked out. I feel like how it maybe should have or mm-hmm. whatever, you know, worked out good.
But yeah, that leads into like, well, maybe we'll do something in 5 years. Well, then... Eventually we got pregnant and I was like, yeah, no, it's just not going to work. Right. I'm not going to stop our lives to plan and pay for a wedding. I can have kids and we can move to a different house. We can do all these things. We're not stopping that just to have a party for really everybody else mm-hmm. instead of us. Mm-hmm. So
then you have a kid and you're like, a wedding seems way too selfish. Mm-hmm. So we're not, yeah.
It's a little, like, as, it's, you guys, it's practical. You guys are, it's a very practical relationship.
For sure.
It's very, like, yes, we've got a, you know, we've got a house, cool, put money into the house, okay, we've got a baby now, cool. I mean, if somebody wanted to throw you a party or whatever, you know, right. Cool.
But... His mom always talks about it. She's like, I wish I could give you guys the wedding that you didn't get. Like, I'd buy you a big tent and we'd have family barbecue. Yeah. And like, oh, we've talked details.
Yeah.
But it ain't gonna happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have a kid dream. And you get so busy. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, I don't know. It might happen someday. I'm not saying for sure no, right. But it's not on the books right now for sure. So
maybe we'll do like a 30th anniversary.
Yeah, that'd be good, huh?
Okay, so talk about this baby.
Yeah. So Zoe, she is almost 16 months. So she was born March 29th of 2024. Had a very normal, very good pregnancy. She was great. Very good, everything. Pregnancy was fun, honestly.
Yeah.
Even, like, the struggles that you go through, I think he got to be a part of all of it. He was working nights, so he got to go to all the ultrasounds and all that kind of stuff, which was really cool. And I sometimes struggle with coming up with questions, and so he's my question guy.
Yeah.
And so I don't think I would have learned as much as I did and figured out as much as I did if it wasn't for him.
Yeah, the nurses, like, we'd be in there. All right, Tina, you got any questions? He's like, no, I don't think so. How about you got any questions? I'm like, yeah, I got questions. Better buckle up.
Yeah, put your spectacles on.
Let me know how much time I got. Yeah. I'm just a big question.
What kind of questions were you asking?
It was just like, it would depend on the thing, but like, especially like the ultrasound ones, like she'd be just kind of doing her thing. Yep, this is good. And I'm like, well, what's that? Oh, this is that. Oh, how do you know? You know, just like any question that popped in my head. Like, you can see her heart's opening how it's supposed to. Oh, what do you mean? It's all like, show me. What are you looking at? I don't understand.
Yeah.
Just that kind of stuff. Yeah, I'm just a big... It's anything.
Or like, I ask questions like crazy. Hearing the heartbeat and like, well, what's the average heart rate that a baby should have? I never would have thought of that, but I'm so happy he asked.
Yeah. The heart sounds great. Well, what does
how
that
do you
mean?
Know that?
Yeah, how do you know? Oh, you can hear the beat. Okay, is that going fast or slow? Because it's not, a baby's heartbeat is extremely fast.
What little toddler Nathan was like running around. Mom.
Yeah,
Nathan,
I'm sure.
Because I said so.
Yeah, because I said so. Right.
Because. Yeah. That's why. Because. Stop it.
Yeah, no, I was firing questions away. Yeah, so.
Yeah, no, it all went very well.
Yeah,
very great. I had a little bit of high blood pressure, so we ended up getting induced and ended in C-section. But everything still worked out great. Nothing. Yeah. There was really no problems.
Was it a surprise? Like, oh, we're gonna have to C-section this baby.
So it was getting to a point where I was stuck at a 4 centimeters. Mm-hmm. No matter what they did, it was couldn't. Couldn't grow any bigger.
Yeah.
And,
Question guy over here is firing off. Talk to me about a cervix. Talk to me about, stop it.
And so they gave me an epidural. They're like, we're going to try and see if we can calm down your cervix and calm down, like, just your pelvis area to see if that'll help advance it. And they gave me the epidural, and then both mine and Zoe's heart rates went up.
Oof. Yeah.
And so they're like, yeah, it wasn't emergency surgery or emergency C-section. Right. But they're like, if we do this, we got to do it now.
Sure.
And so, yeah, the surgeon came in.
It was like fantastic.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Like, epidural in, and then this guy shows up, and I'm like, I don't know who this guy is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I just want to talk to you guys.
Tell me your credentials, sir.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, and he was great.
Yeah, we kind of want to talk about a C-section. Okay, what about it?
Are you scared at this point? Like, is this, would you say that this is one of the scariest points in your relationship together?
Probably, right?
I would
probably say yes.
Nerves. There was definite nerves because there's a lot of unknowns.
Yeah.
And like, we didn't know what was going on. Like, we didn't know what was going on at first.
Mm-hmm.
And so he also doesn't.
I'm really bad with blood. I pass out very easily with this blood.
He had to keep his cool when they were putting the epidural in. He got to be at the front of me and not the back of me.
I just stood there, hold hands. Yeah.
Lock eyes, Tina.
Yeah.
Lock eyes with me. It's me
Don't
and you.
Think
yeah.
about it.
Yeah. Should we have Taco Bell later? Let's just talk about something else.
Yeah, let's zone in. But yeah, the guy came in. Hey, I just want to talk to you guys about a C-section. This is kind of why. And then we're kind of just like, yeah, maybe we should do that. And they're like, perfect. Started throwing me
scrubs. Well, and at this point, I was having like the shock shakes.
Yeah.
And like, Nate was getting nervous. And he's like, okay, something needs to happen.
I've never seen a human like shake as badly as Tina was shaking at a certain point. And I was like, I don't know, whatever makes this stop, I'm game for it.
Yeah. Cut into this
Let's get it going. Yeah. And it was just amazing how fast, like, because they were very calm. Like, I'm going to do a C-section. I'm like, you know, we both talked. Yeah. Yeah, I think we're probably game for that.
We hoped you'd say that.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, here's Scrubs. You need to pack up this bag. We're going to get her prepped. I'm like, oh, I thought I was going to get like a minute here to think about it.
Yeah.
And then,
can someone get me a soda?
Yeah, right. And then before you know it, Tina's just taken away in the bed and because they're going to get her like ready in the operation room or whatever it's called. And then they're going to come get me. So I'm just like waiting there like, well, this is great. And then they got me and my own like personal nurse just because I told everybody like I get real oozy with this stuff and I don't need this to be a problem. So they got me like my own little personal assistant nurse, which was great. And then they put the blanket up
and
everything.
She's like, hey, I'm just here to make sure you stay cool.
Yeah, just hanging out with you. And it was nice too because she grabbed my phone and just took pictures like crazy. She was like our little personal photographer.
Yeah, it was so awesome.
They did really
good. We
wouldn't
have gotten those pictures if she wouldn't have been
there. Yeah, so they got pictures of us like, you know, next to each other. Yeah, it was actually really,
when they pulled
good.
Zoe out and like, oh,
yeah,
that.
So
yeah, it was
they,
so cool.
They got Zoe out and they just lifted her straight up above. So you just see like this. And they're firing pictures at that. We're just like, oh, this is great. You know, whatever. Yeah. Tino's shaking like crazy, throwing up. So I'm trying to catch throw up.
But are you okay? But you're okay with throw
up? Yeah, throw up, all that stuff. So no problem. No problem. It's just like blood and stuff.
Yep.
But yeah, besides that, it all went, I mean, pretty good. You lost a little bit of blood there, Sam. Yeah. So there was a nurse at Tina's head doing that kind of stuff, just at her head, like, oh, everything's good.
She
and
was
I'm
like
sitting
the
there
pain med
to her.
Lady. Like
Yeah, and then that lady was kind of telling us, not in detail, but just like, oh, they got a couple more layers. They're almost there. And then she'd peek over.
See, that's where
there.
I'm with you. I'm like, less details, please.
Yeah.
Tell me,
It was
nice. I'm like, tell me more.
No. But it was nice. She did a really good job on just giving us
just
like
a couple more layers. That's when I'm like, lady, I'm going to make you do your job. You catch me.
And then out of nowhere, my little assistant nurse and then Tina's head nurse, they like both backed away. And I'm like sitting in a chair and Tina's like right in front of me here. And I'm like hearing them whisper like real quiet to each other. And I'm like, what is going on back here? And they're like, oh, everything's fine. And I was like, this doesn't look like it's fine.
This doesn't feel fine.
It was just Tina was losing, getting close to not a good amount of blood.
Yeah.
So she never crossed over any thresholds or anything.
And they're also like, we know we can't talk to you about
we can't talk to you. But I'm like, you're making it worse now. Cause...
Yeah. And they're like, you'll pass out if we tell you what's going on.
Yeah. So that, but then... They got Zoe out. They cut the umbilical cord pretty long, so then I could go and, you know, give it a little trim cut.
Are you
whatever.
Okay with that?
I wasn't. Yeah, that was fine.
I think it was your adrenaline, though, because I thought, too, I was like, I don't know if he's going to be able to handle all
this. At that point,
the blood wasn't in
there
it
There was
anymore.
No blood.
Sure.
So,
and it's mostly blood that's supposed to be in your body,
but
not
it's outside of your body.
That's what gets
See,
me.
See, what gets me is, because I'm the same way, if it's like, I will hit the deck. And when I had to go have a minor surgery and I told the guy, I was like, he didn't look like he was confident in going into the back of my hand. And I was like, I need to tell you.
You got to be good at
this. You have to be good at this because if you don't execute, I'm going to hit the deck. And he was like, I was like, look, can't you just look at my great vein up here? Can't you hit that?
Right there.
He's like, if I don't get there, I can't work my way down. And I was like, if you can't get this,
dude,
I'm not
we gotta
confident.
Get somebody else.
And so
we're
going
to reschedule.
I was like, actually, I got to, I think I parked my car in a tollway zone. I got to go. He, like when he went in, I heard him go, and I was like, oh boy. Okay, I'm going down. And he it was.
I get the same thing when I get like blood work done or whatever.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean when?
you're not taking my blood.
Couple times. But I remember I told them like right up front, I'm like, I don't really do good with blood. Oh, we hear that all the time. I'm like, no, I'm going to pass out.
I'm serious.
I will
though.
Hit the ground and then I shake all over the place. So, and they're like, okay, well, we're going to get you this. Who's been doing it forever. She's real good at it. And she's like feeling my arm, and I got thicker arms. So she's like, oh, your veins are really deep. And I'm like,
don't tell me that. There's one chance, fancy.
And she did it first time, got it in, started pulling blood. Great. And then it stopped for whatever reason. So she pulls out. And I'm like, you only get one more shot at this. Because then my brain takes over and I start rejecting it. And so she went in again. I saw like right away, she's like, oh, it's not flowing. Mm-mm. Just quickly went right back in. And I was like, you are so lucky. That whatever you had was what you were getting.
Yeah,
so.
That's because for what my when my brain takes over, it I like I picture a little camera inside of my skin and I picture what you're doing in there, and that's where I'm like, I can't. My imagination runs way too wild.
Same,
let me. You got to get me out of here.
Yeah, during pregnancy, I think it's because you're already worried about the kid because of high blood pressure. You're worried about Tina because she's shaking like crazy. and throwing up and all kinds of crazy stuff, where it's just like I didn't have any, there was no room in my brain for any room for anything to grow into an imagination or whatever. So, but yeah, then they put Zoe on the little table thing, and yeah, all was good after that.
Nate got to see her first. Well, not see her first, but got to like touch her first. Yeah. And he went up to her and you should put your finger out or something like
that. Yeah, she just was laying there with her arms by her head, and I just laid a finger in her hand and she grabbed onto it. I'm pretty sure
did
I have
you
a picture.
Burst into tears? He has the picture of it. It's so cute. Yeah.
At that point too, I was still just filled of like
what is this
what
thing?
Is going on? And at that point they still really haven't given us the A-OK.
Yeah.
And then I made a mistake because they had a curtain up.
Uh-huh.
And then they took Zoe and they went right across. So like it's Tina there, Zoe right across, and my back is towards Tina.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I gotta kind of see what's going on here because something great's not going on.
Yeah.
And the amount of blood I saw, I was like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So something. So now you're like trying to interact with this brand new child you have. And then you're like, is my wife going to bleed out? Like, what's going on? Because they were talking. They got blood ready.
Welcome to Green Thumb Etc., home of custom furniture upholstery, designer floral, and exclusive giftware. Do you need to find a gift for that crazy aunt that has everything? You'll find it at Green Thumb. Do you have grandma's old chair that nobody wants anymore, but you just don't have a heart to throw away? I can upholster it for you. Or do you need flowers for someone to say, I'm sorry, or to say, I love you? You can find that here too. Come on down to the corner of 7th and St. Germain in downtown St. Cloud, and you can shop to your weirdo heart's content. Find us online at greenthumbetc.com, Facebook, or Instagram at greenthumbetc. At this point, you're already familiar with the way the Love Story podcast operates. However, there are some stories that can't be told on the Love Story that need to be told after dark. So we started Love Story After Dark, a podcast that you can get bonus content on Patreon. There's all sorts of bonus content that you can find on Patreon. Audio, video, special swag, all kinds of stuff. So if you're looking at just wanting to get the audio of the Love Story After Dark, that's $5 a month. If you want to get audio and video, $10 a month. If you want to be a part of the sticker club and get exclusive sticker swag, that's $25 a month. And for $50 a month, you can get the elite bonus merch. However, you don't have to pay any money to just get exclusive clips from any of our After Dark episodes. Get yourself added to the email list so you can get notifications for when new content drops for the Love Story podcast After Dark.
They had blood ready because they were afraid that I was losing too much, but they didn't have to.
Yeah, she hit like the maximum amount of blood you can lose without getting pumped more.
Sure.
So it was kind of, I don't know, and it happened so fast.
Yeah.
And before you know it, we're all, well, me and Zoe went first to, like, the little recovery room, and then they brought Tina. And then I was firing questions away, like, is her blood pressure good?
Yeah.
Is her heart rate good?
When do I have to feed this thing?
Yeah, I'm not sure, so. And then there's Tina, and then, you know, they did the skin-on-skin right away.
Mm-hmm.
She latched, I'm pretty sure, right away.
Kind of.
I don't remember that.
Again. Yeah, they tried to.
But whatever, we were feeding and doing that, and all was good.
Yeah, it was, and then they rolled us up to the postpartum room and all this kind of stuff, and it got, like, finally, it was just us three. It was me, Zoe, and Nate, and Nate looked at me, he goes, we're never doing that again. I was like, okay, we don't get ahead of ourselves, but I understand.
It was a traumatic experience.
Yeah.
We'll remember this fondly later.
Yeah.
Just memory dump right now.
Right.
I think the worst part for the dad or whatever in this scenario is you're there for nothing.
You're helpless.
You're so helpless. But like, I need to be busy and I need to help, but I can't in that scenario, especially because I'm not good with blood. And they're like, well, you're not a doctor. So
and now we've got a nurse who's just, her job is to play patty cake with you over
for
here.
For sure, right. Yeah. So there's a lot of like helplessness until you get the kid in the room and then now you're up. So, and we were in, before we had Zoe, we were in the hospital for 3 days, right? I think it was
Wednesday. Went in Wednesday and she was born Friday night.
Wow. That's
so you had 3 days of just like yoga ball, walking,
trying to move things along,
laying down, you know, like the whole thing.
A little bit of fentanyl. Like,
I'm just laying there just like, okay, I don't know what you want me to do.
Yeah.
You need water? I'll fill your water up. I can do that all day if you want. Because then the nurses would come in. You guys want me to get you water? I'm like, I got that.
Stop trying to take my job, really. Stop coming for me.
Let me do that.
Yeah.
We had great nurses. All of it up there was absolutely fantastic at the St. Cloud Hospital, which helped a lot. So,
That's awesome.
it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, and then the classic, you get home, and you're like, I don't know what to do now.
Yeah, now I have to take care of you.
We had a great experience, and that's the thing, too, is like your instincts kind of go in, but you still have that, like, question of, like, is this the right thing?
Right.
Are we doing the right thing?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Right.
And, like, we were struggling to get her to latch for breastfeeding, and so that was something definitely that we were learning, and we met with, like, a lactation specialist before. I did, like, the... getting the, what's the pre-milk?
Oh, colostrum.
Yep. I went deep into the file.
I had a whole bunch of colostrum. A lot, which actually worked out fantastic.
Is that, because that's a benefit too, right? There's something with that.
They call it liquid gold.
Yes.
All the good stuff in that. But we almost had to do formula if I didn't have the colostrum. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, we had enough for her because she wasn't latching. Found out she had a tongue tie, so that's why she wasn't latching.
They snipped it.
Yep.
Pair of scissors, and they just kind of guess. It's like a guessing game.
Crazy.
You just cut a little bit of it out, or just cut it. You just cut it.
They don't even know it. Nothing, and she was like sleeping like minutes after that happened. Yeah, it was crazy. Yeah.
That was like 2 days after she was born.
A week after she was born. But all of it actually worked out perfectly. Everything did. And so I originally wanted to breastfeed, but with her not latching, we couldn't. By the time we got to meet with a specialist and went to her first appointments, I already started pumping. And we got onto this, like, routine and then got it snipped. And they're like, hey, you go ahead, start trying. And I was like, I don't know if I want to. I was like, we're already in a great routine. And I actually was starting to learn that I was a ridiculous overproducer. I know, I try not to like tell too many people because it like it's kind of depressing for some people, but like it's
The great thing about her pumping is then again I can now do something. Like if it was just her, I don't know, it gets tough for the dad just to like for me to sit there and just be like, okay, well you let me know when you need something because I'm not doing anything right now. So because I got a week off from work that they gave me, and then I took another week off, so we had 2 weeks of just our little family, our new little family, just, like, hanging out, having a good time.
Yeah. Well, and he was still on nights.
And I was still on nights. I was on nights for, like, 8.5, almost 9 years. And I'm like, I gotta get on days, or I'm gonna, like, have to potentially look for a new job or something. And basically, to get to days, you need somebody on nights, or on days to leave for whatever reason. And, somebody decided that they wanted to come back to nights on days. So I took that position. So it was 2 Father's Days ago.
Yeah, it was 2 weeks before I went back to work.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was it worked out great. The only really hard thing with him still on nights throughout my maternity leave was we had a couple weeks of colic with Zoe. And so those nights were real rough because I was alone. Yeah. And so, and that was obviously,
and
usually when colic comes to be a thing.
I'd leave work. There was a couple days where I took like a half a day off to like, you know, take care of it, whatever.
If it was just extra hard. And
then I would get home around like 2:33 and then I'm like, Tina, go to bed, go to sleep. Like I got it now. And then, you know, like at whatever point then Tina would switch. And then I'd try and get some sleep. And then I'd wake up early, you know, whatever.
Well, and then also being an overproducer, I couldn't sleep through the night. Had to get up halfway through the night to pump. And so I talk about like it being, it was hard. It always will be hard having kids, young kids. But just how it ended up working out just ended up being great. Yeah. It worked fantastically. And she ended up being an absolutely amazing sleeper. I think at like 2 months slept through the night.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so everything worked out great.
Yeah, I got over that little bit of colicky. It was pretty easy.
Yeah, went back to work and she went to daycare. We got her into a great daycare.
Yeah.
And get into the little unfortunate part. In August, last August, she started having these weird movements. They weren't normal movements. And you know, with babies, small babies, they make weird movements sometimes. But these ones were a little extra different. And so we brought her in, spent some time in the at the children's hospital. We've had a bunch of different tests and stuff. And she was diagnosed with infantile spasms, which eventually then turned into epilepsy.
Okay.
And then we had a lot more tests done. We ended up having neurologist, part of her health team. MRIs, EEGs.
Retina specialists.
All of this. And she ended up getting the diagnosis when she was 5.5 months of Aicardi syndrome.
Okay.
It's a very rare condition. It's found in almost only girls other than boys. With Klinefelter syndrome, which is XXY chromosome.
Okay.
And so it's almost an only girls. Mm-hmm. And they don't, it's genetic. They don't know what gene, they don't know the mutation, they don't know, like, there's still research. This condition has already only been a condition, like, known condition 30, 35 years, maybe. Wow. 40 years.
Yeah, pretty cool. Yeah,
it's sure. Not long.
Right.
And so there's maybe 4 other girls in Minnesota that have it.
Yep.
She's got cysts in her brain. Thankfully, with this condition, they will not grow. They will not change. If they do grow or change, there's something else happening.
Are the cysts common with her syndrome?
Yes. Yep. Okay. So there's like 3 aspects to the syndrome. It's the infantile spasms, seizures, the cysts, and the part of your brain under that, like, connects the both sides of your brain, the corpus mm-hmm. callosum. That's where her cysts are.
Okay.
Some girls either have no corpus callosum, so there's nothing there. They have a mutation of it, or they're cysts. So there's 3 aspects to that part.
And what you would want is the cysts, I assume?
I don't know, actually. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, because any kind of change in that part of your brain, it'll always cause delay.
Okay.
And so developmental delay and stuff. Just because that's where both parts of your brain are talking to each other.
Okay.
From what it seems like, maybe the cysts are better because there is still matter there mm-hmm. that they can, like, still communicate. But then the other thing, too, is they're called retina lacunae. And it's, so it's like lesion-like scars on her retina. Some girls have it where it's in their central vision, which can cause them to be blind. Hers, thankfully, are not in her central vision. So, like, with her whole condition, she's probably got the best scenario.
It is.
The best scenario yeah. of all of it. So her seizures will never 100% go away. They will come back each time.
Is it... Can you predict, or is it entirely mm-mm. unpredictable?
Yeah.
Totally unpredictable. Right. And they'll evolve. They'll change. You'll have to change meds, change all this kind of stuff. We are part of a couple different Facebook groups mm-hmm. that we asking questions all the time, seeing other people post stuff, pictures, see things of their girls. And there is a huge spectrum of this mm-hmm. condition, too, even yeah, in the small that. Amount of girls.
It took us learning that.
Yeah.
Because... You can go on Facebook and you can kind of see, like, the worst of the worst.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so we're kind of getting ready. We're like, we got to buckle in because, like, mm-hmm. you can see these girls on Facebook and their moms and dads posting about, like, now it's this, now it's that, all this stuff. Mm-hmm. We're like, we really got to buckle in. Like, this is going to be a yeah. bumpy, mm-hmm. a bumpy road. And mm-hmm. for some of the kids, a bumpy, semi-short road, too, mm-hmm. you yeah. know, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, the average lifespan is 18. But there are actually a handful of girls that are up in their 30s
yeah,
and 40s.
Yeah, there's 30s and 40s yeah. too.
Oh. And it really, like I said, it's a spectrum. So it really depends. And it's kind of crazy what our neurologist was telling us. A lot of the times it's not the actual seizures that end up causing the worst problems. It's the seizures that end up weakening the body.
Sure.
That then the body. So it's a lot of times our lungs. A lot of these yeah, girls end up having lung yeah. issues mm. that end up causing the issues. Zoe, and I, so back to, like, the day that we got the diagnosis, we knew this was coming. We knew this call was coming because he needed to get the scans of the retina. He needed to take the MRI that he had. And then he also needed to, there was something else too that he needed to take all parts of it to give the diagnosis. Mm-hmm. It wasn't these other little specialists that could give us the diagnosis. Mm-hmm. And so he called. And it was like a Tuesday. I think it was honestly September 11th. I think I'm almost 100% sure it was September 11th. Which, what an unfortunate
yeah,
day.
Yeah, yeah. Super bummed.
Nate was at work. Mm-hmm. I was home with Zoe. And he called. And he goes, we didn't know. We had no idea what was going to be coming. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to record the phone call because I want mm-hmm. Nate to be able to hear everything. Because no matter what it is, I'm probably not going to be able to recite that's everything.
Yeah.
So we recorded it and gave us the very unfortunate news. And respectfully, he has to give you the worst of the worst
yep.
to get you prepared for yep. what things could happen. And so, yeah, he gives us the worst of the worst. There's a chance she will never walk, a chance she will never crawl, a chance she will never eat on her own. There's a chance that she will be wheelchair bound. And so getting that and sitting there alone while your baby is sitting over here bouncing in her mm-hmm. bouncer,
yeah.
like, was not cool.
Right.
Yeah. I lost it.
Of course.
Totally lost it. He ended up, actually, I called him and he was like, nope, I'm on yep. my way home now.
Yep, I gotta go.
I don't even think you said, you texted your boss after you left. I don't even think you said anything to him.
I didn't put my toolbox away, I didn't do nothing. I was like, dude, I gotta go.
I will be back.
I was on break at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And like, as soon as my phone rang, I was like,
yeah.
Alright.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I don't know what's going on. So he's like, I don't know if I'll be back tomorrow. I don't know nothing.
Right.
And so, yeah, we sat down, talked, did really just kind of, I don't even think we even looked up stuff that night because we were like, we already were kind of just like in awe and just so shocked with what's going on that we didn't want to dive too deep into it. And then two, Nate was, I don't want to say you were in denial because I was kind of too, but like we were just like, no, mm-hmm. there's no way that it's that extreme because she was bouncing in a bouncer. Mm-hmm. She was doing some things that were pretty normal. She was drinking out of a baby bottle. She was doing all these things that were like, I don't know. Like we were kind of like, do we get a second opinion? Do we not?
Right.
And then we went for, it was maybe a month later that we went for her next EEG. And so they were in Roseville. And so we went to go see Dr. Smith is who we have. Nate legitly asked, he's like, so are you 100% sure this is what she has? And he's like, yes, 100% sure. And so I think that was then the like, okay.
I know. Yep.
This is what our life is going to be.
And he gave me good reasoning too, where, you know, if somebody's going to give you that big of news, like, you got to give me something, dude. You can't just be like, hey, by the way.
Yeah. Well, and he's the question guy. He wasn't with me. And so I didn't 100% know what to ask because I was already, like, bawling my eyes out, like, just hearing the first initial stuff.
Right. Yeah.
And so that, I think, also was because he didn't believe it at first because he didn't have, wasn't able to ask the question. Right. So we had a plan that we were going to start her on some medications. I ended up having to, well, and this already was started because of the seizures. And he had an idea of it being Aicardi syndrome before we left the hospital when all of it started. He told us, and I will never forget this, he goes, I have an idea of what it is. He goes, but I am not telling you because I don't want you Googling it.
Yep, you'll do the worst.
And so right there, what do you do? Right. Like, you're just like, is this the worst of the worst? Or is he just like, he doesn't want to tell us because he's not sure? Or like, what's going on?
Right.
And so I tried not to let that comment bother me too much, but it stuck. Like,
of course.
Yeah, did a bunch of the scan things, started some steroids, some medications. And so with that, she couldn't go to daycare. She was only at daycare for not even a month.
It was pretty quick.
It was about a month and a half that she was at daycare. And we were like, hey, we're going to be out for a month or two just because of what's going on. And so they absolutely adore the daycare that we go to, the lady that's there. They were very, very helpful and very lenient on payment and all this kind of stuff. Cause they're like, all we care that is that you get that baby back to better.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was, it was very helpful. And so we started doing our research and started just kind of working with Zoe and just making sure we keeping an eye on her. And she, other than daycare, I will say this is us being here is the first time she's ever been left alone with somebody.
Yeah. Wow.
So she, almost 16 months
yeah.
because just her seizures. Mm-hmm. They're not like your typical seizure. A lot of people actually don't know what infantile spasms are.
Mm-hmm.
So they're more of like a, just kind of like a muscle tensing kind of thing.
They can be hard to see.
Very hard. So we'll have videos of them. We'll show people and are like, you saw that? And we're like, yeah.
Because now you know what to look for.
Yeah. So she had a crazy journey this last year. We all did. Including her birth and me having pneumonia. We had six hospital stays last year.
Yeah.
So I was home with her for about a month and a half. We were all getting ready to her go back to daycare. She was doing pretty good. She was still having some seizures, maybe one or two a day. She was ready to go back to daycare. I was ready to go back to work. At this time, she was about 6 months old, and I filled a freezer full of milk.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, I think I'm done.
Yeah.
And so I stopped pumping, and my body like was like, what the heck are you doing?
Yeah.
And it was on edge, just not happy. Well, then she goes to back to daycare. She's exposed to all these germs again, and she's at a center, so there's... Lots, you get that. Lots. And she, like, that first, like, 2 days, she brought something home and got me even more sick and took me out. And I ended up being hospitalized for 3 days with pneumonia.
Wow.
And got out on a Wednesday. And that Friday, we were back in the hospital with her having some feeding issues. Her tongue wasn't latching to a bottle. And so we were, thankfully, the bottles we had, we could kind of squeeze them just to kind of force some milk because we could tell she was hungry.
Mm-hmm.
And so, ended up going in. She did a bunch of tests and stuff. And long story short, she has a G-tube. She's got some hardware.
Mm-hmm.
Call it her little tubey. Her seizures also ramped up big time at that point. And so our neurologist is like, we also started a new med too. And he goes, I really believe if we do one more round of steroids that things are going to start looking better. Mm-hmm. So we did another round of steroids. I stayed home with her for another 2 months. She got her G-tube, had surgery, all this kind of stuff. And then I think it was mid-December, we finally were ready to go back. And we went back and it's been good. She's been seizure-free since the end of November. Wow. So we're on a really good stretch. She's had some really good scans that have come back. And so she's just been doing great.
We're on top of the world.
Right? On That's top awesome. Of the world. She's crawling. She crawls, she's officially crawling. She feeds her. She feeds herself.
Yeah.
She ate 4 pancakes this morning on her own. Girl. Yeah. She loves food.
Yeah.
Good.
But yeah,
good.
No, she's doing absolutely amazing. She's in therapy every week. And we've got to pull back on tube feeds, which is amazing. She's
a warrior. Like, yeah. She pushes hard.
Yeah.
Crazy. She is determined.
Yep. So she's crawling really good now. And like, we got some braces coming in for her legs that should help her start standing, because she's got the power to hold herself, but not the balance and stuff to keep her upright.
And the understanding, I think, fully of it. She's understanding the crawling now, but it didn't take her too long to fully get it. So I don't think it'll be much longer for her.
Part of it is you got to create a drive. Like, why do you want me to stand up? What am I going to...
Dangle a pancake?
Yeah, you got to dangle pop pancakes.
Those Pop-It toys?
Okay.
Oh, any...
She was crazy for them.
She will have that in her hand all day long if she could.
Yeah.
Oh, night and day. Sleeping with it, playing with it. Yeah. Oh, obsessed. Yeah.
But yeah, it's as good. It's perfect.
Still. Yeah, she's That's doing so great.
Awesome, guys.
And we say all the time that like, oh, there's still a lot for us to learn with this medical stuff. But then people are like, no, you guys got it.
Yeah.
And we're
like,
nah, I don't know. Like, we took her in a couple weeks ago at urgent care because we're like, I think she has an ear infection. Or I think she has a cold. Because having a kid with health issues, she's also got a little bit weaker of an immune system just because of the med she's on and because of her condition. And so whenever something's going wrong, I mean, you got to be very careful. She's had times where she's been sick where we've had to take her to the ER. And so we ended up just being teething when we took her in, thought it was an ear infection. Like, but yeah, no, we still have a lot to learn. But I feel like also, and that's the thing too, we're talking about love story here, is a lot of times we've seen things like this that happen to kids break marriages apart.
Yes.
Nate and I have done nothing but get closer.
Mm-hmm.
And our communication has skyrocketed, even though it was good before. Right. Like, I don't think we've been better.
Yeah, and like, just even down to like the different apps that we use to keep track of appointments and different things like that. Like, we're always in communication in some way, shape, or form throughout a day.
Yeah.
So even if it's me, I get to work before she does, before she brings Zoe to daycare. And after, because on my phone, I'll get an update that she got dropped off at daycare.
Mm-hmm.
I'll call Tina up sometimes. Hey, how's everything this morning?
Yeah.
Good. Perfect. All right. Or just a text too. Whatever. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We're always communicating. Yeah.
Yeah.
Always.
I think that's the thing that's so evident with you guys. If there's any couple that's going to have a tough situation like this and just tackle it gracefully and practically, like, you can very clearly see that you guys, you just got it. You're turning towards each other. It's not even that you necessarily need to turn towards each other. You're already with each other. So we're just going to do this together.
People will be like, oh my God, I don't know how you do it. And I was like, we ain't got a choice.
Right.
I don't know ourselves. Like, I didn't want this to happen.
Right.
But would I trade Zoe for the world? Absolutely not.
Right.
Like, she is who she is, and she's our little girl.
Thank you so much, you guys, for sharing your story. It's such a blessing when you get to see two people who, regardless of what you're going through, you can turn towards each other and make something beautiful out of it. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Love Story Podcast. You can subscribe to the show and you can follow us at the Love Story Podcast on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Do you think you have a love story for the ages? Do you think you have a love story that's like a meet cute? Or maybe you just have a regular old love story, but you guys have been together for so long that you don't even remember how you met. We would love to have you on the Love Story Podcast to tell your story. Every love story is unique. Every love story is special. And whether you think you've got a cool story, a funny story, or just a heartwarming story, or just a story of the everyday regular old love, that's the kind of stuff we want to hear. Reach out at info@lovestoryweddingshow.com and we will schedule a time to get you featured on the Love Couch. If you're not local, we have the capabilities of doing it digitally as well. So don't forget to reach out info@lovestoryweddingshow.com or head to the show notes.